thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
We in here in the studio, man. It's the Urban Sports Scene on Eyes Radio. I am, obviously, I'm Wally. I'm here with my boy TJ. What's up, TJ?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm fine. You know, actually, if you don't know that, that's Will's alias. His name is TJ as well. He's one of the cool folks in the world. Will T. TJ, man. Should get the folks a shout out, man. Tell the folks what you been up to of late, man.
Just been chilling, man. Sunday I was on a great podcast, hosted by Miss Marie and Cullen. I forgot the name of it off the top.
Oh, the date is over.
Yeah, the date is over. They had an interesting conversation about single parents and, you know, from a male and a female perspective. So it was a good night, man. You know, Cinco de Mayo. It was a great way to end Cinco de Mayo. So I was happy I could help out.
Yeah, man, I listened to the show. TJ did a great job on the show, if I must say.
You blowing my cover, man.
You know what? I apologize. If you listen, it's actually the show is not taped, so you're okay.
Oh, okay.
So you're good. It's not like somebody can go back on file and be like, oh, yeah, TJ was on there. You know what I mean? TJ was cool. All right. Real talk, excuse me. TJ was awesome, man. TJ gave us good insight on what a single parent has to deal with. So big ups to TJ. I'm a big fan of TJ, man. TJ's a great guy. I've said TJ a lot because TJ's awesome. You know what I mean? Because TJ, if it wasn't for TJ, this show would be some crap. Thank you, TJ, for all the work you've done for the Urban Sports Scene.
And I'm sure TJ would be happy for that shout out.
Yeah, check out. Make sure you check out the show that Will's referring to on Sunday nights. But their website is thisdateisover.com. So make sure you check them out. Like Will said, Miss Marie and Cullen. Cullen's a hilarious dude too. So
he is, man. Both of them are good people.
Yeah, good people, real good people. Anyway, like I said, with the Urban Sports Scene on the Eyes Radio Network, such shows are on there are The Noise, which airs on Monday, 7:30 Eastern Standard Time, and Backfield Radio. So make sure you check them out. Clutch Sports Radio, which is not on the Urban Sport, which is not on the Eyes Radio Network, but my good boy, my good homie Danny, he's doing it. Keep calling him Danny. It's Darwin. My good boy, my homeboy Darwin keeps doing the damn thing. So make sure you check him out at www.darwin-sports.com. And also, my homies, Voice of the Fans, make sure you definitely check them out. Have a similar format to us, but they are, make sure you check their podcast out at www.blogtalkradio.com/The Voice of the Fan. Our show is also syndicated on the internet radio station, Real People, Real Talk Radio. This site is managed by our good friends from Applegee's. Make sure you check the site out at www.realpeoplerealtalk.com. Will, go ahead, man.
Now that you fumbled through that.
I know, man.
Let's get to our tradition, the pregame.
Jesus Christ. The Capitals, looks like it may be the same old. They were up in the series 2-0. Now they lost last night 2-1. Hopeby gave up four goals. They lost the game 4-3. Hopefully they pull it out. I guess the game is tomorrow, so they pull it out tomorrow.
Yeah, they had today off. They play the Rangers tomorrow. I think they'll actually, you know, go up to 3-1.
Hopefully,
and then from there it'll be an adventure. You never know what'll happen with the Capitals, especially come playoff time. But I caught parts of the game last night. Hopey gave up four goals. Ovechkin didn't get a lot of shots at the goal, which is surprising to me. But I'm not going to even act like I'm a hockey expert.
But from what you see, you can still gauge. You still can talk about what you saw in the game.
You're right.
You know what I mean? So,
but here, everyone, I know everyone in D.C. is anticipating game four and hoping the Caps go up 4-1. 3-1.
Hopefully the 4-1, like you just said. The good thing is that you're getting Mike Green. He's playing good hockey. Great defenseman for years. Had some bad injuries over the last couple of seasons. So I think the Caps do have some positives they can pull out of it. You got in the playoffs, you got Mike Green playing at a high level. And the last couple of years, he didn't actually play at a high level, and he didn't actually get a chance to perform. I think we'll get Ovechkin playing well next game. Ovechkin, you know, I always say it's hard to keep a superstar down, and especially on the tear he's been – And actually, the first two games, he was playing he was playing at a superstar level. Obviously, it's hard to keep that going every game. So I expect Ovechkin to come out blaze out, ready to go tomorrow. And I just think it's cool that you have Mike Green playing well with him. So I think, like you, Will, I expect for the Caps to go up 3-1. Mm-hmm. If they don't, I'll be upset, but we'll see. Next on the pregame, I know this is a big thing in the city, especially for baseball fans, Nats fans. Strasburg is struggling. Well, what they consider struggling, I guess.
Yeah, he hasn't had a win since his opening game of the season. He's struggling. I wouldn't say it's him struggling. I think he's more not getting a lot of run support, and the stats show that. He isn't getting a lot of run support during his starts. His last outing was actually a solid start, which was actually no decision for him and a win for Tyler Clipper, if I'm not mistaken. But they said he's had like some forearm issues. Hopefully he'll get those handled. But all around, I think the rest of the Nats staff is pretty much picking up the slack for him. Zimmerman's 4-1, if I'm not mistaken. Gio is being Gio. Dan Heron is starting to settle into his role as the number three starter.
And Detweiler's been decent, too.
And Detweiler's decent, too. So, you know, a lot of people are still finicky, a little bit of panicking about the Nats, who actually played tonight, which I think was rained out.
It was rained out. They'll play I think that game will be scheduled Thursday, afternoon.
Yeah, so they'll play Detroit tomorrow and then Thursday afternoon.
Should be a doubleheader.
If I'm not mistaken. So, you know, just chill out. Things will get better. You know, it hasn't warmed up yet, and we all know how the Nats play in warm weather.
They have a resume when it comes to warm weather. How long have they been in this area for them to have a resume in warm weather?
I mean, I'm just going. Are we going off last season? Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. How they playing warm weather? We'll see how the Nationals perform. I'm not really concerned about Steven Strasburg. I mean, he's 1-4, but the thing about his, we look at his game, his ERA is still like a 3.45. So it's not really anything to worry about. Like Will said, you got Zimmerman who's playing at a Cy Young level. Gio's been okay. Heron has had his last couple games have been he's been effective his last couple games, and Detweiler's had a good season at the fifth spot. So, I mean, we all knew coming into the season that the Nats were going to have a talented pitching staff. So that's nothing new. So Strasburg will be okay. I think he's overthinking what's going on. I think that's getting to him. But once he scratches that off and just let his ability take over, he'll be fine. I think the fans in Washington will just have a chill pill. So, y'all will be okay. Big Strauss will be okay. Mambo Strauss, whatever you want to call him, he'll be fine. So, let's go to B-more. Or what you like to say, Will? You always
go up 295.
It's up 295. I didn't want to mess that up because you have your own nice little saying. Up 295.
Trust me. No. None of this stuff is trademarked or patented.
Let's go up to 295. The emergence of Manny Machado for the Orioles. Should he be discussed in the talks of Bryce Harper and Mike Trout?
I could say yeah, possibly. Yeah, you know, he's shown consistency as Trout and Harper have shown, you know, over their first year and a half in the league. Machado's done the same thing. So I think you can mention him. It's just that, you know, playing in the Baltimore market, which isn't a huge market. I'm just saying.
That's false, man. The Orioles are a bigger team than the Nats, traditionally. So
traditionally,
in baseball,
yeah,
we're talking about baseball.
They've been around. Longer.
I mean, it's a. If you break them down, if you compare them to most baseball franchises, the Orioles have been entrenched in baseball for a while. I mean, it's just been the last decade of sorriness. but in the grand scheme of things, the Orioles have been good. I mean, I pulled up stats and numbers just to see how comparable these individuals are. Right?
Oh, okay, great.
So, all right. Trout is hitting .275, 5 home runs, 22 RBIs, all out of the 2 spot. Manny Machado is hitting .314, has 5 home runs, 21 RBIs, all out of the 2 spot, which honestly is a hard position to get RBIs, but they're still pulling it off at the 2 spot. Harper, I believe Harper is hitting at the 3 spot. He's hitting .312, 9 home runs, 18 RBIs, so less RBIs than the two, Trout and Machado. I do think that Harper is playing out of his world, and I think Harper right now is the better of the three. I won't argue that. If I went against that, that would be ignorant, but I do think Manny Machado deserves to be in the talks. He's 20 years old, really officially. This is like basically his officially should be his rookie season. He's hitting 314, five home runs, and 21 RBIs, and playing gold and playing a gold glove third base. So, and you know, he'll probably make the All Star team. So, I think he definitely should be in the talks of Trout. I think Trout and Machado. I think Manny Machado has outplayed Trout this season. That's my opinion. I think Bryce Harper has been an MVP candidate, so I will not knock that. But I think Manny Machado does deserve to be in the talks. I think he's second when it comes to young guns. I think Major League Baseball and ESPN, who cover like Baseball Tonight, MLB Network, everybody needs to pay attention to Manny Machado and see what he's doing, because what he's doing in baseball is something special, and he should be in talks with and linked with Trout and Bryce Harper. Now, Dan, you got something to say?
Oh, no.
Okay, cool. All right, again, down to pregame. My boy, LBJ, King James, though lost yesterday, he received his fourth MVP. I believe it's like 4 or 5 years or something like that.
Yeah.
4 or 5 years. I think the youngest to get four MVPs. The dude is special.
He is. You know, his story still isn't written yet. Even though, you know, he won the MVP. They came out last night and kind of disappointed. But I thought that Chicago was going to win. But that's another story for another time.
They came out flat. That's what happened when you had a long break off. You're playing against a team that works hard. But we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, but LeBron almost made history. He was one vote short of being a unanimous MVP. That one first place vote. Went to Carmelo Anthony, writer in Boston. what did you read his article?
No, what did
he say? He made a compelling argument, just stating that, you know, the MVP isn't necessarily given to the best player, it's given to the most valuable player. And he stated that, you know, you take Carmelo Anthony away from the Knicks, that who he voted for with that one first place vote, you know, they aren't as good as they are. If you look at Carmelo led the league in scoring, and also if you look at the Heat's record versus the Knicks, you know, I think it was like 3-1 if I'm not mistaken. So he did make some compelling arguments for voting for Carmelo Anthony with that first place vote.
I'm a big Melo fan. I'm happy Melo got the one vote. To be honest with you, that validates to me that he should have been the second. He should be runner up in the MVP voting. I think Kevin Durant got it, but he should have been runner up.
Yeah.
But for that writer to say that, to be honest with you, if you ever watch the Miami Heat, this is why, you know, like that writer, that what you just told me annoys me. But the writer, if you watch the Miami Heat play, when they bench LeBron James, they're vastly different. They're a vastly different team. The more mediocre teams can beat the Miami Heat when LeBron James wasn't on that team. Just the way that that team is constructed now, you get what I'm saying? Like their focal point now was LeBron James. To create and do so much for them. It's for him to do so much for Ray Allen, Mike Miller, Shane Battier. Those guys get off because LeBron James allows them and sets them up. You know.
Agreed.
But I had a question. I put a question on this on Facebook and on Twitter, stating that how many MVPs can you, like you said, the story is the book isn't done. How many MVPs can this kid get?
Well, to be honest with you, probably somewhere in there. Seven.
Yeah, that's a popular number.
Seven is definitely a possibility. You got to think about it. He's got four now. What is he, 27?
28 years old.
He still hasn't reached his prime yet, which is, you know, around 29, 30.
Yeah.
So, you know, and if the Miami Heat do continue to keep winning, you know, then he'll definitely be up there. The guy's averaging almost a double-double. You know, I'd probably go out on the ledge and say probably within the next two years he will average a double double.
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean,
if you look, his stats are definitely trending up that way. The scoring is getting lower, the rebounds and assists are going up, and his efficiency, you know, from the field is getting better. So
because he takes smart shots, we're looking at a guy who had a stretch, I believe, was shooting from 60% from the field.
Yeah, I believe for the season he shot 55% from the field. 40% from over 40% from the 3-point line. So just amazing. But yeah, if I had to put the high low, I'd probably say the over under probably be at seven.
Seven? Mm-hmm. I'm looking on my Facebook just because I referenced Facebook. On Facebook, Tabitha Mayo has 10. That's not going to happen.
I don't think that's
not going to happen, Tabitha. My boy Jay said seven, and he said he should And he said he should have five already by now. He should have had five. I think one year he must have got robbed. I can't think of what year it was.
People are probably saying that year Derrick Rose won it.
Yeah, probably so. Probably. That makes sense. My boy Troy Perry. What's up, Troy? Has six. So, yeah, like you said, Will, I mean, I'm saying seven. I can say seven, eight. I think he has an opportunity to double it, because only the only reason why I'm saying seven to eight, because we all know it's going to be difficult, because he's going to be the best player, like that writer said. He's the best player in the league. So he's going to be typecasted. So that, in that regard, it's going to be like, okay, well, we can't keep giving it to LeBron James. We're going to have to find somebody different, especially if you have a great player like Kevin Durant who's going to deserve it. But LeBron James is so everything that it's going to be hard for him. But it's going to be a couple years where they're going to be like, all right, Kevin Durant, you can get it. All right, Carmelo, you can get it. You know what I mean? Those Derrick Rose, you can get it. So Chris Paul, it'll be like, even Chris Paul. Chris Paul, you can get it. So these players will eventually, I think, steal a couple of LeBron James MVP seasons.
Yeah, but like I said, just to cap it off, I have seven.
Seven?
Yeah, definitely seven.
I'm going to go eight, because I know it's hard. So I'm going to go eight. And then I think then the discussion will be, who's the greatest player of all time?
I think that's the discussion. I think anyone with a pair of eyes, you know, I'm a huge Jordan fan, but just
if you get eight MVPs,
yeah,
you can't be eight. Oh, seven. If you get even seven, be honest with you. If you get seven,
yeah, if he gets seven and gets like five rings,
you can't. Yeah, can't deny it. Yeah, I'm not a big Jordan fan, and I'm a big Magic fan. I couldn't deny him being the Magic. Period. You know, because he's an all around ball player. Anyway, as a big, like Will mentioned, Cinco de Mayo. It was Cinco de Mayo weekend, and nothing bigger during that time than the Mayweather girl fight, which is very disappointing to me. But yeah, Mayweather dismantled.
It played out how I thought.
Oh no! But I mean disappointing. I mean disappointing to people who paid a lot of money to see what was going to go down. That fight wasn't a fight. It was the best in the world.
It was artistry.
It was best. It was the best in the world for somebody who shouldn't be in the ring with him.
I agree.
That's what it is.
I'm not going to say someone who shouldn't have been in the ring with him, because if you look at what Guerrero did, his prior three fights, he definitely earned the right to be in the ring with him.
I think he deserved the right to be in the ring with the main event fighter, not with the Mayweather. Maybe I have too much respect for Mayweather. I think that there's the particular brand of boxer that should be able to be in the fight, be in a ring with Mayweather. I don't think he deserves to be in the ring with Mayweather.
I mean, that's arguable. But like I said, I just feel, over, you watch his past three fights, he definitely earned the right to, be in contention to fight Mayweather, which he did and was dismantled. The fight played out pretty much like I thought it would.
Yeah.
First round, Guerrero would try to come out strong, crowd Mayweather, take away his speed, which he did. I think the first round I scored that probably 10-9 for Guerrero. Then after that, it was pretty much a shutout. Floyd Mayweather just beat him to the punch, really elusive, rolling his shoulder.
Because he was
pop shotting him.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was like I said, it was artistry. If you really enjoy boxing, what boxing is, which is hit and don't get hit. Floyd Mayweather did exactly that.
It was. If you want to look at the art, like Will said, the art of boxing, because I believe that's why I like it way more than UFC and all that crap. It's just the artwork. It's the chess. It's you're playing chess out there. You know what I mean? And when you see how Mayweather was setting him up, even when he backed him in the corner, Mayweather knew what he was doing. It was just like, it was something perfect. It was something beautiful, man, for be honest with you. Like you said, the pot shots, rolling his shoulders, it was classic Mayweather. He was quicker than him. If he didn't hurt his hand, he probably would have knocked him out, because he had all the clean, effective punches throughout the whole fight. Mayweather showed, man, and the man had a layoff too, man. And
he'd been out of the ring for 1 year.
To be that skilled, to still be that skilled and be that effective, man.
That's scary.
It's scary, man. It really is. So big ups to Mayweather. Who do you see Mayweather fighting next?
Probably next, if I had to put money on it, I'd probably say 60% chance Devin Alexander if he wins.
Yeah.
40% Amir Khan, just simply because recently the WBA and WBC rated Amir Khan as the number two overall contender at 147, which is ludicrous because he hasn't fought a fight yet at 147. But I see either one of them fighting Mayweather in December. I don't see him fighting in September. That's just not going to happen. It's just too quick of a turnaround. You think about it, it's already May. Then he realistically have to be back in training camp.
It's five fights though, right?
Yeah, he has five more fights over, I think, the next 29 months.
Okay.
But realistically, it's just not going to happen him in September. September, you'll probably see Alvarez versus Cotto, and then you on Showtime pay-per-view, and then on HBO pay-per-view, you'll have Tim Bradley versus Juan Manuel Marquez, and then with Mayweather coming back in December versus Amir Khan or Devin Alexander.
So you don't see him fighting Canelo Alvarez anytime soon?
Not this soon, no. It doesn't make sense.
Okay.
It doesn't make sense.
I don't want to see it. I mean, I do want to see it. I think it's the biggest fight for him right now
on the table. It's the biggest fight on the table for him right now. But just realistically, I understand, you know, the public wants to see it. But realistically, point to three fights that Alvarez fought that are, you know, against top competition. Outside of Trout, he hasn't fought anyone in his prime. Shane Mosley was past his prime. Jose Zito Lopez, he overmatched him. So, you know, I still think Canelo Alvarez, even though he's a huge star in Mexico, still has to get his weight up a little bit.
But I mean, we can honestly say to be if I had to play devil's advocate, I mean, Mayweather beat Oscar, wasn't really in his prime.
He beat
Mosley, not in his prime.
Well, I'll say this. He went up to 154 and beat Oscar.
But he's more skilled than him. I agree. He's better. He was a better boxer. I'm saying not Oscar in his prime. I'm just saying these guys were diminished in their primes as well.
I can't say Oscar was diminished.
Oh, he was. That Oscar was this. Felix Stern had his way with him already.
Yeah, he was already. I mean, Felix Stern had his way with him, but that was at middleweight, though.
I'm saying the Oscar we saw in his youth and when he was coming up, I just felt like he was diminished.
Absolutely.
I'm not, believe me, I respect the greatness of Mayweather. I'm just saying, like, To get to where he moved up, there are a lot of boxers that were, to me, weren't even close to him. I haven't seen anybody that wasn't close to him. I'm not knocking those boxers, though. Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking them. Because Mayweather, I respect the skill of Mayweather. You know, so I'm not knocking them. But again, at the same time, like some of the folks that he was fighting, the big draws. Like, let's name the big draws of some of his big fights of late. Cotto,
Mosley.
Oscar,
then you have Zab Judah.
Who's been done for a while, to be honest with you.
Zab just isn't mentally focused.
Yeah, okay, well, you know what I mean. He's not, you know what I mean.
You know, so. Marquez, then Victor Ortiz. That's funny. That's funny. Sorry, we were cut off guard. We're actually watching the Knicks Pacers game, and they just had this halftime, and you know they had a funny
Spike Lee right behind Reggie Miller.
Spike Lee and Reggie Miller moment. So yeah, those guys are probably since Mayweather's become Money Mayweather, the fights that he's fought. But the thing about Mayweather is, you know, he consistently sells a million at the pay per view.
Oh,
so
man.
He's box office.
No, he is. Like I told you before, he's the draw. He's the draw. Look at Guerrero. Nobody cared about Guerrero. Oh, yeah, and I have to say this, too. I'm glad that Mayweather beat the hell out your son.
Yeah, because his father was a disgrace.
Exactly. Your father was a disgrace. I don't care. I don't agree what Mayweather did. I think he was wrong. But the way you went about it is just ridiculous. Secondly, don't say Jesus or God wants you to beat Mayweather. Don't bring God into it. That's just ludicrous. Don't do that. Obviously, that means that God wanted you to lose to Mayweather because it happened. So don't bring that stuff into the game. I just had to get that off my chest.
Nah, I agree. I totally agree with you.
All right. Well, it's about time for commercial break. When we get back, we'll be talking about what me and Will are actually watching the NBA playoffs. So just make sure you listen to us. The Urban Sports Scene on Eyes Radio.
For ages.
Get it.
Deuces.
Peace.
Blow up last season. Every win. Every loss. Every headline. Blow it all up. 'Cause all that matters is what you do next.
feeling it. Stop blowing my buzz, quit killing it. So buy another round and try to shut us down about an hour ago, but we still in this.
Shout out to Urban Sports Team and Wally and Will. Love y'all, appreciate y'all. Keep up the support. We'll keep the hits coming.
You can listen to our show by visiting our official Urban Sports Scene website, which is www.walio.podbeam.com. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook, so just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at urbansports@iceradio.com. Urban Sports is spelled URBANSPORTS at Eyes Radio, which is EYESRADIO.com. You can listen to us on the Sports Career Podcast Show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Steeler Fan. WC Steeler Fan is spelled WC Steeler Fan. This show is produced by West Coast Steeler Fan. It's about that time.
So, we're talk about back.
The Miami Heat. Yeah, my notes are all jacked up. Yeah, sorry. The Miami Heat. Losing to the Bulls. I believe we mentioned that during the pregame, during the LeBron James segment.
Mm-hmm.
The Miami Heat lost to the Bulls. Why do you think they lost to the Bulls? Was it something that the Bulls did or something the Heat did?
I think it's 50-50. It's okay. A little bit of both. I think, one, the Heat were off for like a week, so their bodies got out of the mode of, that hard playoff competition basketball. That's something you can't replicate in practice, because coaches probably don't want to go too hard with their players. And two, Tom Thibodeau, whether people admit it or not, is the best defensive coach in the NBA.
Can I go up one step further?
What's that?
Oh, dude's the best coach in the NBA.
You definitely won't hear any arguments from me on that one. But, just the way – he has this team playing. He gives it all as a coach, and his players give it all every possession, every time down. And Joakim Noah is definitely the heart of this team.
I hate that dude, but, I was telling somebody, just I had to be real with it. It was like, I may hate Joakim Noah, but at the same time, he's the kind of player that you want on your team. You may hate him.
You don't
want to
play against him,
but if he's on your team, you adore this dude.
Gives it all. He gives it all.
He does everything.
Defensively, he gives everything. Good. He very good rotating to the ball. Very good off ball defender coming to block shots. Is very aggressive on the boards. And it's just one of those guys you want to go to war with. But back to what I was saying. Tom Thibodeau, his defensive scheme against Miami, which is essentially crowded, packing the lane in. Not allowing LeBron James to get into the lane. And then when he gets into the lane, no one leaves their player open for an open three-point shot for Shane Battier, Ray Allen, or Mike Miller to get those open three-pointers. And also Chicago's physicalness and ability to crash the boards. Miami, where they really thrive is in the open court. But just because of Chicago's bigs and how they aggressively attack the board, Miami's having to send – 4 and 5 guys to the offensive and defensive board, where Chicago was only sending like maybe three their front court to the boards, and then their guards are getting into the lanes and starting a fast break. It's grinded out basketball. Nate Robinson's playing tremendous.
Yeah, he really is. Nate Robinson has really been balling.
He's earned himself a lot of money because he's gonna be a free agent.
Yeah, I think one of the most underrated talents in the NBA. I really mean that. I've been amazed that he's been a journeyman. After he left New York, and for some teams, he used to have DNP by his name often, and I thought that was ridiculous, especially with some of the lack of talent in the NBA that actually gets playing time. Speaking of Nate Robinson, the guy who he is starting ahead of, I mean, starting because he's injured. Well, one of the guys he's starting because he's injured, Derrick Rose. Since they took game one, you think it's more? You think he should come back? Or do you feel like
I'll do you one better. I actually think Derrick Rose is coming back game 3 once they go back to Chicago.
Oh, you think so?
I absolutely think so. just the way they say Derrick Rose has just been practicing, you know, he's been the greatest, you know, that's what you want from somebody who's your leader, your franchise player. If they're out, he's been the best cheerleader. He's been supportive of his teammates. He's, you know, coaching them up on the bench, helping them out. But I do think he's coming back, and I think he should come back, and I think he's going to come back either game three, most likely game three, maybe game four.
I hope he doesn't come back. I don't think he should come back.
Why not?
I think these ignorant fans, not you, Will, but these ignorant fans out there are forcing him to come back. I think they keep using examples of what's going on with Nate Robinson, what's going on with Luol Deng, with all these players banged up. But I'm going to use a player that everybody needs to kind of reference to. Reference of Brandon Roy. Young player, knees banged up, talented. I'm talking about based on superstardom with the Portland Trail Blazers, and he came back for the playoff series because he wanted to help his team out, and he made his knee worse. I understand he's coming back 100, supposedly 100%, but I want this dude to have a whole season, I mean a whole offseason, an extra offseason, make sure that knee's even stronger so he can do the same things he's accustomed to doing. Not everybody is Adrian Peterson. All right? There's a difference because when you see a Shumpert for the Knicks who tore his ACL, he's not Derrick Rose. I understand what I mean by that is he's not the franchise of New York Knicks. If he goes down, they have Carmelo. They have J.R. Smith. He's not that important. If Derrick Rose goes down, the whole city of Chicago is going to go. Should go. I mean, you're losing a guy. The whole city of Chicago is going to pay. Put it that way. I understand that they still win or whatever, but you have a transcending superstar. Don't rush him back because you feel when you see these other players playing hurt, it makes him look bad. Don't pressure the kid like that. I feel like they're putting a lot of pressure on him. I feel like the reason why he's trying to come back is because people out there are out there tweeting or they're on some morning sports show talking about, oh, Derrick Rose should come back. Look at Nate Robinson throwing up and this, that, and the other. But, all right, reference somebody that came back early and tore his knee up. Why not do that?
I think that's fair for you to say, but I just have a feeling. I think Derrick Rose is going to come back game three or four.
It seems like, I'm not going to argue with you.
He just seems like, you know, he's getting that muscle memory back. He, you know, just from what they're showing and highlights of him practicing, you know, pregame, he looks like he's got that explosiveness back. He's able to jump off that left leg again. You know, he's going real strong, looks physically in shape. So I do think, you know, if he comes back, it'll probably be game three or four. Like you said, you know, you don't want to rush him back because he's such a transcendent star. You know, actually people in Washington, they'll learn something about that come September. You know, when Robert Griffin III, you know, if he decides to come back, you know, week
super
one.
Early. Yeah, super early. I'm not a fan of rushing him either. I know he's like to jump up and do jumping jacks, but I'm not a fan of rushing him either.
You never want your star. You never want your transcendent superstar to, you know, let him take his time.
Yeah, look at Gilbert Arenas, man. It's the same thing. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't think if Derrick Rose comes back 100%, I don't think they're still winning the series. And I'm a fan of if you're going to go all in, you bet damn well sure that you're going to win the championship. Why have him out there risking his health and he ain't going to win a championship?
Well, I'll say this. The thing that Chicago's kind of lacked in years past when they had Derrick Rose are players that will step up and be that second and third guy.
Yeah.
If you don't have Derrick, because they haven't had Derrick Rose for a whole season, they've kind of, you know, guys have taken the initiative and taken it upon themselves to step up. And so you can honestly say they do have a number two, a number three, a number four score. So, you know, but adding him back to the mix, you never know if he does come back. Will guys just sit around and watch him play?
Exactly.
Or will they continue to, you know, take that initiative and, you know, go to the bucket, create baskets for themselves.
And you know why I think they'll revert back to who they normally are? But it's because you have a transcending star, and you get to the point where you actually watch him do what he does and breaks people down. You're not gonna have that player who has the confidence and say, "Okay, Derrick, I'm gonna do me too." You're not gonna have that kind of player. You probably hope Carlos Boozer gets that. I mean, takes that. And takes that ball and runs with it, but it's a possibility that he won't. You know, we saw what happened last season, so we'll see, man. I mean, a couple years ago. So, but we'll see. Still not a fan of it. A fan of Derrick Rose coming back. So, Derrick Rose, stay home, man. Don't let these people pressure you, man. They ain't worth it. They ain't about that life, man, for real. They not. Anyway, let's go into a game, a series, and a game that kind of blew me last night. Golden State against the Spurs.
It blew you, but it was an instant classic.
It was an instant classic. It blew the hell out of me. I'm gonna say this for before we get in depth with this. The only reason why Golden State lost that lead is because some other players tend to want to shoot the ball when you just got this closer right here who can make every shot. And once it got to overtime, somebody got tired. Steph got tired. But when you're in the fourth quarter and you see San Antonio making a run, your star player is Stephen Curry, not Jarrett Jack. That's all. So I'm going to let you go from there.
Well, I do agree with you on that, from that perspective. But I think they kind of figured out a key to guarding Stephen Curry, which is you play his right hand and kind of take that right hand away because, you know, that's his shooting hand. Mm-hmm. So you play right on top of that. And also, Carmelo, all right? I'm sorry. Sorry to get distracted.
Will's a big Knicks fan, man. So.
Kawhi Leonard. Him playing Stephen Curry, he really gave Stephen Curry problems when he guarded him.
All right, see, this is the thing. See, people, they noticed that late. But at the same time, initially, he was going to work on Leonard. He was really going to work on Leonard. Because Leonard was on him early. Because what they tried to do was, they tried to do the same thing Denver did. When Denver put Brewer on him and Iguodala on him, so they thought a bigger body would kind of give him problems. That was like more height. And he's, you know, so they try to use the same thing with Leonard. But see, initially he was doing his dirt against Leonard. So what happened was, like you said, they tried to force him left. But he adjusted. He just went to the hole and finished with his left. He adjusted. The thing to me was that he just got tired. I feel like he just got tired. He still got a lot of open shots that he was knocking down. He just got tired.
Yeah, I think.
And D.L. did a good job, too, popping up. He blocked a couple of his shots, too.
Yeah, I think, the combination of Leonard and D.L., they made him work a little bit more, a little harder.
Tony Parker should not check him at all, though.
No, not at all. You know, those two made him work a little bit harder, which made him a little bit more tired at the end of the game. And, you know, he lost his legs. Mm-hmm. But I think that if or when Golden State loses this series, that'll be the game that they'll look back to and they'll say, we blew it. That was our opportunity to go up
1-0. No, I agree.
I think 1-0 and take a little bit of momentum and take a little bit of their fighting spirit out of.
I mean, I believe they split the series in the season 2-2. But, yeah, I think this game is just too much. I can't see them coming back from this game. You had this game. It was your game to have. And all of a sudden, now you're down 1-0. Tim Duncan was throwing up and couldn't – I mean, Tim Duncan was sick and didn't even pretty much play most of the fourth quarter and even overtime. And now – and you just lost it. You squandered this opportunity to maybe take one. And knowing your home court advantage, possibly, I'm looking down the road, could have been up 3-1. You know what I mean? Because I would expect you to lose game two. So. Yeah,
but I will say this for Golden State. They do match up well with the Spurs. You know, Stephen Curry, he's a matchup problem for anyone. Klay Thompson, big guard. Harrison
Barnes. Him fouling out was a problem, too.
Harrison Barnes, what can you say about the rookie? To me, he's a better pro than he was a college player by far.
That's what folks said about him.
Bogut, he's starting to show up.
Then he can play better, though.
Yeah, Landry and, you know, the jack of all trades, Jarrett Jack, who's never seen a shot that he didn't like.
I'm telling you, people want to talk about Steph like he didn't fit clothes. That's the reason why they lost. I know he's local. We support our local dudes. But, dude, you're not the number one. So, stop it. You're not the number one. All right, real quick, on back to Stephen Curry. Do you think this playoffs has, like, built the legend of Stephen Curry? I feel like he's taking it, he's using this platform to be something big right now.
Yeah, I think this playoffs was his coming out. You know, to me, like, I think, you know, whenever some superstars are born, you can definitely tell a stretch when, you know, they definitely showed that confidence that they are the franchise. And, you know, these playoffs has been Stephen Curry's showcase. You know, like a couple – when Vince Carter was first breaking out, it was those couple of games when they had him on NBC, you know, when he's scoring like 40 and 50 points. That's when you knew that Vince Carter was coming out. He was a superstar. You know, guys like LeBron, you know, he's been a superstar since he's come into the league. Dwayne Wade, when he won the Finals MVP, that's when he ascended to the superstar level. So I think this is the time that we'll look back on Steph Curry, and we'll say that's when, you know, he became a recognized, bona fide franchise player and superstar.
All right, we mentioned it. I mentioned the comeback. You think the comeback for San Antonio? You think that pretty much crushed his chances of Golden State throughout the series, or do you still think they have a chance?
I think they have a chance. You have a shooter's chance as long as you have Klay Thompson and you have Stephen Curry. Both guys are great shooters. Then also you have some guys that play, you know, really good defense. And it's a team that likes to get up and down the court. So, yeah, I do think they have a chance, but I'd probably give it 40%.
Oh, 40%? Okay. I don't know. I don't think they have a chance. And I'm rooting for Golden State. I just think that once you get that kind of opportunity, I feel like that's just crushing. For an individual like me, I feel like if I lost that, we lost that game, I would have a negative thought process. I won't even lie. I'd be like, dog, we had this game. And if anything wrong that happens in game two, I think, you know, you're going to magnify it and go like, damn, we should have had game one. You know what I mean? Like, if you start turning the ball over, they go on this run, you're going to start saying to yourself, man, we wouldn't be in this situation if we took game one. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be hard for them. But predictions. And I didn't say the Miami Heat, but we'll go back to Miami Heat. Who do you think is going to win this series, San Antonio or Golden State?
Well, I said 60-40 San Antonio. So I'm saying 4-2.
4-2?
Mm-hmm.
This one, I'm going to be rooting for Golden State, but I'm going to be real with you. I agree with you. 4-2. 4-2 San Antonio. I think this game was too hard to take. I think they'll take. No. I'm gonna say San Antonio in seven. I think they'll take the two in Golden State, and I think they'll take all in Golden State. They'll lose all.
I think San Antonio. Yeah, people are underestimating that home crowd in Golden State.
It's special
because a lot of people on the East Coast don't get a chance to stay up and watch it. But, you know, I've watched them, you know, those Friday night games on ESPN.
Me too, yeah.
Special place to play, you know, packed arena, and Stephen raucous crowd.
And Stephen Curry, he thrives on it too. You could tell that crowd gets him hype. Real quick, Bulls and Heat, who wins that series?
4-2 Miami.
4-2 Miami in five. Miami, I think
four
straight.
A clean sweep from
here.
Yeah,
I think they woke them up. I think they're woken up, and this we'll see what Miami's capable of doing. But anyway, it's time for commercial break. When we come back from break, we'll be talking about tonight's game. Right now, the Knicks are up 58-54 against the Indiana Pacers. Game two, must win game from New York. Lose this game and they're out. So I know Will is definitely involved in this game.
Out.
Lose this game, they're out. Will is involved, looking at this game, staring at it. So it's the Urban Sports Scene on Eyes Radio. You dig.
For ages.
Dosas.
My life is full of statistics. Thing is, I could have dropped out of school and become one myself, but I didn't because I had people that believed in me. Here's another statistic. 7,000 students drop out every school day. That's one every 26 seconds. It's time that students know that we believe in them.
Inspire a student and share your message of support at boostup.org.
This is Ryan Kerrigan, and you're listening to the Eyes Radio Network. You can also listen to us on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, on the Apple G's radio show. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/Apple G's. Apple G's is spelled APOGEEZS. The show is hosted by Coach and the lovely Vivian. That show has not been on for a while, but it should be soon, hopefully. And when it's on, I'm trying to be on it.
It happens, you know, in that internet radio game, you know, you got to take a
break.
Yeah, take a break.
Hey, yeah, you know, we do it.
We do it all the time.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and nobody cries and say, where are you guys at? Other than Tom Block on Eyes Radio. When you guys going to put a podcast together? I'm like, dude.
When you pay us.
Yeah, pay me. I'm all about that guap. That moolah. Yamula, baby.
Oh, my God.
Oh yeah, he was on Mayweather. He was with Mayweather.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? He loses 50 and goes with Lil Wayne.
The world. Right, that's the lifestyle of rich and famous.
Yeah, man. The world is lovely, man. It is. It's very lovely. Anyway, Knicks Pacers. Let's talk about. I mean, obviously, game.
Talk about
now.
What we see. You know,
let's
like
talk about
you
what
said,
we see right now. Yeah, game like two's
said,
on.
Yeah, like you said before, we went to commercial break. The Knicks are up 58-54. I think with 6 minutes and 6 seconds left in the third quarter. It's becoming, you know, Indiana has closed the gap from the first half.
I think the Knicks had a double-digit lead.
Yeah. One thing that I see the Knicks doing something, even though they're starting with that small lineup, they're coming quicker with more size to kind of combat.
Yeah, with Copeland.
Yeah, with Copeland and Kenyon Martin to take away Carmelo Anthony, guarding David West, because, you know, Carmelo got
they need to stop that.
Quick foul trouble really quick. Yeah. He can't guard David West down on the post. I think that, you know, maybe your best bet is starting a Copeland.
Yeah.
Because Copeland, even though, because you know, you want to play, you want to put 3-point shooters out on the floor with Carmelo when he goes to the post. So I think Copeland is a guy who can stretch you out. And also, he takes a big body away from the basket, depending on how he's matched up and, you know, how you want to do it. You might want to get Tyson Chandler on the weak side of the offense with Melo on the strong side and Copeland at the top of the key, you know, so he. You know, so you take Herbert away, take that big body away, and take David West away, you know, and it'll make it a little bit easier for the Knicks to hit the offensive boards.
Yeah, to piggyback on what you just said, we all know that the best way for an offensive player to do work is to let him rest on defense. I mean, it's the truth. And you got Melo worried about checking David West, who was historically a 20 and 10 type player.
Yeah,
and you got Melo checking him in the block. Come on, man. I mean, I know you're looking to Melo to get off offensively because you're thinking he's going to have a mismatch, but they're putting Paul George on him anyway. So why not? Nah, just play a big lineup and let Melo do work. Melo can score anybody, so it doesn't matter. He's that type of player. He can score anybody.
He can, but also Melo, one thing what he needs to do is kind of work the ball around the perimeter a little bit better. So it's not necessarily the ball stops with him because Indiana's doing a great job with closing out, getting up on his right hand and taking away that jump shot, making it harder for him to shoot that 15 to 17 footer.
Yeah, so right now it's tied 58-58. Knicks are in some trouble. Do you think this is a bad matchup for the Knicks? You think this is, you know, in terms of the teams they could have, you know, faced off against?
I think because of Indiana's size and, you know, because the Knicks want to play small ball, I think it is. The Knicks have a hard time matching up because you got a guy like Paul George who's 6'8", starting at the two. George Hill, he's, 6'3", 6'4". You know, and then the Knicks start with Raymond Felton and I can't even pronounce the guy's name. You know, the guy, Cap Poly, whatever.
Full team.
For the Knicks, the guy who's starting at this two guard. I'm ashamed. I'm a Knicks fan. But everyone.
Oh, you talking about the point guard?
Yeah.
Oh, the Argentinian?
Yeah.
I don't know his name, but I know you're talking about.
Yeah. And you know.
I said Argentinian. Is that even correct? The Argentinian? Yeah, it's better.
Whatever. And then, you know, in the post, you know, you got Roy Hibbert, who's 7'2".
Hoya, destroyer!
You have David West. He's 6'9", 6'10". Lance Stevenson, he's about a 6'6". So, you know, Indiana has size all the way around. I'm sorry to babble going off, but
Knicks are now down 61.
Knicks are down 61-60. It's the first time Indiana's had a lead in a while. But
you're right.
You know, Raymond Felton, he can neutralize their height advantage by getting to the bucket and getting their big men in trouble.
I mean, he's going to the bucket. I mean, they can't stop Raymond Felton in the pick and roll. So Knicks should consistently try to do that. Just use Raymond Felton pick and roll. Let Raymond Felton set people up if Melo is going to be off, and you know, to continue to get this physical play that the Pacers are giving him. Do you think Melo is correct by saying that this Pacers team is playing too physical and he deserves more calls?
Absolutely, he's a superstar. Uh-huh. He's not getting the calls that most superstars would get. You know, they're manhandling him down on the block. Sunday was the worst. The Knicks got absolutely no calls at home. I've never seen that happen. And, you know, Indiana was getting all the calls, I guess because they were being the aggressive, being a far more physical team. And the referees, you know, they were saying, well, you know, these guys are the aggressor and they're bringing it to the Knicks. You know, we'll give them the call, but I don't know.
Oh, I think I love Melo. I think the referees officiated the game correctly. I think most of the bigs, they jumped straight up. So, you know, and Melo was bringing in the contact, you know. So if the bigs were coming downward, then I would, you know, agree. But Melo was bringing in the contact. And I thought it was a fairly officiated game. You're playing against bigs. I think we're in the era of the – it's funny that we're in the era of the NBA where that if you get touched, you think you should get fouled, especially in playoff time. In playoff time, this is how it is. This is playoff basketball. This is when you watched basketball in the 90s, this was it. In the 80s, this was it.
Like, but we aren't in the 80s and the 90s.
No, well, that we need to be, because soft people rule the world, man. It's crazy.
Well, I just want, you know, and I you think want fairness? The Knicks, yeah, I just want consistency, you know, on but both see, sides.
They're the not calls. Going to the basket like you. You guys are going reckless. Like J.R. No, I like J.R. Smith and Melo have been very reckless in going to the basket. What movie is this? They've been going real reckless going to the basket. Are they doing Old School too? Or something? I mean, not Old School. No. It is Super Bad too.
No, it's not. I forgot the name.
Oh, okay. I'm about to say. Though. I'm looking at previews. Oh shoot. I'm sorry, look at the previews of the movie. Producers are super bad. You know, I love that movie. Anyway, yeah, so but yeah. So I don't think they're getting the rawest deal in the world. I think, you know, I think the Knicks are doing too much complaining to refs. And to be honest with you, if you complain to refs a lot, they're not gonna give you calls. They hate that. All right. So you need to stop. I'm talking about in game, not during the press conferences. In press conference, you can kind of manipulate the refs. But during the game, you keep complaining, they won't give you calls. I'm just being real. So Melo, Felton, JR, just chill. If y'all chill, y'all be okay. And you'll get your way. So Will, this is the scary game. I'm gonna say who's gonna win the series in your who needs to step up for the Knicks to turn the tide in the series?
Kenyon Martin. Definitely Kenyon Martin and Tyson Chandler. Those two guys to bring their hard hats. They need to, you know, at least 11-9 each game. And they don't need to foul out, because those are the two guys that are predominantly the Knicks' best post defenders. So I think I need those two guys to step up.
Okay. I think, well, to me, it's going to be easy. I'm not going to make this hard and complicated. It needs to be Carmelo Anthony. And when I mean by Carmelo Anthony, he can get 30. That's easy. But I want him to get 30. I want him getting an effective 30. I want him to start knocking down that J, that mid-range J, that triple threat jab. Get that going again, and we can see the real Melo. I'm a big fan of Melo. I think I've always said Melo is the most disrespected superstar in basketball, easily. I think we've seen Melo take a Denver Nuggets team to the playoffs when they had nobody when they drafted
him. We've seen him take the Denver Nuggets to the conference finals.
Yeah, take him to the conference finals. I mean, so Melo just needs to be Melo. That's all. He just needs to be Melo. And I think once he's Melo, I think this series could change. But right now, the Pacers are doing things to him that I think that are messing with his mind, and he's not focused enough that he needs to be. So hopefully we'll see the real Melo come out. I mean, stand up. But who you think's gonna win the series?
The Knicks.
And what?
In seven.
The Knicks in seven. So Will T has the Knicks in seven. Initially, I had the Knicks win the series initially, but after watching Game One and then watching what I'm watching now, I'm changing that, and I think the Knicks will lose this series in six. I think this in six, and if they lose tonight, they're losing earlier than that. They're losing five. So. They're losing five. So
we all have our opinion.
Yeah,
you're entitled to yours.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I think this. But real, we didn't talk about this. But I think this is awesome to have a Knicks Pacers series in the Garden. What it represents, Reggie Miller's doing this game on for TNT. I just think this is the most the coolest thing in the world. It's just something. It just makes it right for the NBA playoffs to have Knicks versus the Pacers.
It does. It, you know, brings back a little bit of nostalgia, a little bit of history for anyone. For us 80s and 90s babies who were glued into the TV when NBC had the playoffs, which I miss.
Yeah, real quick. ESPN, stop doing basketball. All right, go back. Go, Will.
You know, just those, you know, in the Garden, Reggie Miller, Patrick Ewing, you know, those were guys who were warriors and led their teams to some very good and intense series.
Yeah. And that's what Steph Curry kind of reminds me of, Reggie Miller. Like how his jump shot excites the crowd. Let's go to the next series for tonight. I believe this game airs at 9:30 or 10 o'clock. 9:30. Mm-hmm. Ooh, Melo just fucked on who was that on the ground?
George Hill, I think.
George Melo just dunked on George Hill and gave him something nasty. Something chicken McNasty. Good God. Anyway, yeah, Memphis versus OKC. What did you see in game one that caught your eye?
I saw a guy who was tired of being number two, Kevin Durant. He wanted to show everyone he's the best player in the NBA. He scored 35 points, 15 boards, and like 7 assists. And he hit the go ahead jumper for him. Also, what I saw, I like the strategic switch in the lineup that Scott Brooks made with bringing in Nick Collison earlier, yeah, to combat some of the physicalness of Zebo and Mark Gasol. This one's going to be a tough series for Durant and in OKC, just because they don't have a lot of scores. And also, you know, Memphis, they have guys they have a great post defender in Mark Gasol, the defensive player of the year. And actually, Tony Allen is back defending like he did when he played for Boston, when Boston won the championship. So that out of all of the series, I think that's probably going to be that's a pick 'em, just because of Memphis's size, their advantage on the inside. Because, you know, even though OKC has Serge Ibaka and has Kendrick Perkins.
Who?
Kendrick Perkins.
The most overrated basketball player in the NBA. Good God.
He is a bit overrated. You know, even though they have those two, I just don't think those two are able to neutralize Mark Gasol and Zebo on a down on the block.
I mean, that's a good point. I think Collison, to me, is a better option at the five. I guess he's the five. He's considered the five when he comes in the game.
Yeah.
Because Ibaka is the four, right?
Yeah, Ibaka's the four.
All right. So I would definitely – having Collison and Ibaka together is more of a threat, and it's more of a threat, one, offensively. And defensively, I think it's even a better matchup, because I think Collison plays a tougher style of basketball. Like you said, against Zebo, Collison doesn't back down. Secondly, on pick and pop plays, you have Collison who can score on a pick and pop, and Kendrick Perkins just takes space in offense. So he sets screens.
I was going to make that point too, and I don't mean to cut you off.
You good?
But Collison, he's a guy who can stretch the floor a little bit and take either Zach Randolph or Mark Gasol, preferably Gasol, away from the basket when he's playing on the offensive end, because he's able to hit that 15 to 17 foot jumper.
No, I totally agree, and that's the thing. I think having Collison out there, it gives OKC a better chance they went to take the series. It really does.
Ah!
Right now, Raymond Felton and Kenyon Martin had a big steal after they fouled the hell out of the point guard, and Vogel is pissed. You can see it. They fouled.
It wasn't a foul. That's playoff basketball.
That was a foul.
That's playoff basketball.
You know what? I don't get mad at that. Yeah, I love playoff basketball, so you won't get me criticizing playoff basketball. They won't call foul there either. That's all ball. But they did call
foul. That was
all
ball.
They called foul, though. That was good deal.
That's what you got. That's what we've been saying.
Oh, that wasn't a foul. I take that back. Yeah. That wasn't a foul. That's a flop.
Off the backboard.
I love the way Kenyon Martin dunks. I'm a big fan of the way Kenyon Martin dunks, because he just throws energy. Look at that dunk. He throws a punch in that joint. It's just awesome. But, yeah, so OKC. I think OKC's going to take the series. I think because Kevin Durant wants to be the guy. I think this is – honestly, I think what happened with Westbrook, I'm not knocking. I think they need Westbrook easily. They need Westbrook. But I think that the injury to Westbrook is going to help build the legend of Kevin Durant. I just feel like it's going to add to it. It's going to be like, okay, wow, Kevin Durant is truly – I mean, he's arrived, but it's going to be on a whole different level now. It's just going to add to it.
And remember what I said, kind of addition by subtraction? Because, you know, OKC is such a young team. I didn't pick OKC to go to the finals this year. I always said that OKC is another year or two away, just simply because, one, like I said, addition by subtraction. You know, you don't have Westbrook, then you have those other young guys who need to play minutes
and
become
Harden
better.
You talking about this season?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
During the playoffs.
During the playoffs, I mean, okay, yeah. I got you.
You Reggie Jackson stepping up. Then you have DeAndre Liggins coming off the bench. And you have other young guys who can get some time.
Perry Jones. Play him, man.
But also, we like I said, we're forgetting that OKC, I believe, has Toronto's number one pick this year in the draft, and it isn't lottery protected. So it could be a top 10 pick.
Gotcha.
And if they're able to get the guy from Mike, the point guard from Syracuse, I forgot his name, just coming out.
Oh, God. You're talking about. Williams?
No, Carter.
Mike Carter. Yeah, the tall point guard.
I think, you know, you get him to play point guard, move Westbrook over to the two.
He can't shoot. That's only a problem.
Yeah, it makes it a better team. Or, you know, you go out and you get a number five or a number four that can actually score on the block, Alex Lynn from Maryland.
He sucks. He does. He sucks. I mean, just being real. Like, he can't even score. The ACC has a bunch of bigs who are, like, undersized and can't really block his shot, and he can barely skid 10. Like, he sucks. He sucks,
well,
too.
One thing I know for sure, that OKC would definitely make the right pick.
They should. Yeah, they do good with the draft picks. Don't get me wrong. But this draft ain't the one.
Yeah, but like I said, I do think that a year or two from now, we'll say OKC will be winning the championship. Just my opinion.
And what I got – and also to go back on game one, what I got from game one is that, you know, regardless of what people say, you know, how Memphis has gotten to the second round of the playoffs – the situation, what happened at the last seconds with Memphis getting the opportunity to win the game or get a last-second shot to tie. To win the game. So they were down one. To win the game. That's when you miss a star, Rudy Gay, because there's a type of player who can score on his own from the perimeter that can create his own shot.
True.
You know what I mean? That's when you do miss it. Don't get me wrong. Like, he is effective. They are effective, an effective team, period. The way they play defense, the way they go to Z-Bo, they are an effective team. But – at the same time, when you need a player in that situation to create a shot to rise with about a couple seconds left, you need a Rudy Gay.
Yeah, you need a guy who can create a shot outside of Mike Conley Jr. and maybe Tony Allen.
Yeah,
those are the only two guys that can create shots for themselves.
Tony Allen can create a shot for himself.
I mean, Tony Allen can get in the lane and
because he can't shoot. So I know that kind of
he can get to the lane.
He got handle, but he can't shoot.
He's a slasher. He can
but
get.
There's
into
no
the
versatility
lane.
With Tony Allen.
No, I'm not saying he's an outside shooter. I'm just saying
Conley
he's a guy
Jr.
who can.
A good one, though.
Yeah,
Conley
I'm just saying that Tony Allen can get to the basket when you got to put the ball on the ground.
You're right. I won't argue that. Can he shoot? Can he shoot? That was a whole different story. I thought Tony Allen was gonna be a dog when he got to the NBA too. He found a niche for himself, but I thought he was gonna be a dog.
Yeah.
Anyway, who wins tonight? Who wins tonight, and who wins the series in OKC?
Tonight, I'm going with OKC. I got them going up 2-0, and then I have Memphis winning the two at – well, no, taking one of the two at Memphis, and ultimately OKC winning this thing 4-1.
Okay, I got – I just think it's the realm – it's the time for KD. I think he'll get to the Western Conference Finals. I think tonight OKC wins the game. I think same thing I said about Golden State – I think that losing that game, because Memphis dominated that game, losing that game in the last moments and then having Durant just take over, it's just crippling. So I'd see them taking tonight, going up 2-0, taking one in Memphis, and like you said, in five. I can see it in five. If they get back to OKC up 3-1, it's over.
Yeah, absolutely.
Another good crowd, another good big crowd for them. Just like we talk about Golden State, they have a great crowd in OKC. Real quick, it's about that time. We're about to go hard in the paint. Just for who's going hard in the paint tonight. So I'm going to let you go first.
I'm not going to even pick anyone from this game because this game is on. I'm going to the next game. And I'm going to go with Nick Collison. Nick Collison to go hard in the paint.
Well, you know, y'all go with the winning team. So I'm going to go with... who go hard in the paint? Well, Serge Ibaka go hard in the paint. Obviously, the center position. I think you'll see him get a lot of blocks today. You'll see Conley Jr. drive. You'll see Serge Ibaka going, you know, glassing that thing. The reason why I'm going with Serge Ibaka because he's African, and I represent the African people, and that's what I do.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and that's what makes me. That's who I am.
Nothing wrong with that.
Exactly, man. Do you have a parting shot? You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's not necessarily a parting shot. It's more of a rant.
Go ahead.
There's a local establishment which me and my co-host here, we like to attend. You know, first we were told that it would, you know, it's been closed down temporarily because of water damage, because of fire. We were told that it would be opening tomorrow. No, we were told. Yeah, we were told. Tonight, yeah, we were initially. Told we'd be open tonight initially.
And then
we
were told.
Then they said tomorrow, which would be Wednesday, and now we're being told what the 20th.
The 20th of May.
The 20th of May. Excuse me, guys. What the hell do you expect us to do with our lives until the 20th of May?
Yes.
We like to go to this place. We like to conduct our business, and we like to hang out there. You guys need to get your ish together.
I'm with
get
you.
Up off your lard asses and get things cracking and get it back open.
Yes. Tiger Wings. Talk with me. Work with me. Tiger Wings. Creamy Italian. Tiger Wings. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
We're not asking for much.
Jesus. Get it together. Get your stuff together now. Anyway, about time to leave. All right. Good. I'm with that one, Will.
Yeah, man. I'm very passionate about that
This
place,
is really pissing know? Me off. May 20th, like for real. We're at May. It's the 7th.
Exactly.
It's the 7th.
What are we going to do for 13 days?
Are you serious? Like, seriously. Get it together. PG County, get it together.
And I don't want to hear, and it better not be a day over the 20th, because me and my man here, we have a tradition. We go and watch the first game of the finals there. And, you know, we like to get effed up. And the next day, we go into work kind of, you know,
yeah, you
lethargic
know what?
And tired.
All right. And then sometimes I might even skip work. All right. This is just being real. All right. Get it together. I'm getting pissed at this. Get it together. I'm stuttering a little bit. I'm getting mad. Anyway, Herb, thanks for listening to us. We out.
Deuces.
Bitches.
Sayonara, bitches.
Will says it. Wait.